Thank you, brethren. It's such a wonderful topic. It's very positive as we live in such a negative world. I think this symposium is talking about such a beautiful part of the scriptures. I'd like to continue and entitle my thoughts, He is Risen. Today we are looking at the subject of the Bible that enthralls many believers and non-believers, the resurrection from the dead. The death condition continues to plague mankind with sadness, sorrow, and hopelessness. However, the plan of God gives a real solution and a hope for all mankind. We would like to meditate upon a great working of God's power, the resurrection from the dead of our Lord Jesus. The personal effect on his followers in the days including the crucifixion, the burial, and following the resurrection are important. In fact, all believers are touched personally and can take important lessons from these events. The appearances of Jesus following his resurrection were purposed to prove to his disciples he had risen, and for Jesus to encourage their faith and exhort them to service. The doctrine of the resurrection is fundamental to God's plan of salvation. The apostles wrote about the importance of Christ's resurrection in particular, and how significant teachings and theories are formulated by understanding it or not, or misunderstanding it, as we'll have in our study this afternoon. Let's look at some events of the resurrection. The crucifixion and burial. The crucifixion of Jesus was a very sad and testing occasion for all that loved the Lord. Luke chapter 23 and 27 reads, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him." Our Lord Jesus was giving his all for his followers and for all mankind. Having served in the ministry 3.5 years, his time had now come. Just as had been prophesied through Daniel that Messiah would be cut off, we find that in Daniel 9 and 26. The Saviour of the world died on the cruel cross. The perfect man Jesus gave up the Spirit. Indeed, the light of the world was no more. From the biblical events, we understand the burial process for Jesus was immediately required because it was the day of preparation, the day before the Passover, and much was done in haste. The feeling of great loss was amongst the disciples of our Lord. They each would have reacted in their own way, some staying near, some not so. In John chapter 19, 38 and 39 it reads, "After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one, for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight." It is interesting that the body was prepared along the customary Jewish burial means by wrapping with linen cloth and with application of spices. The application of the aloes and the perfumes were a sign of their devotion and love for Jesus. A new tomb was made available in the garden, nearby to where the crucifixion occurred. And here it appears Jesus' body was laid from sometime near sundown on the Friday till the Sunday morning when the women came early. In Mark chapter 15 and 46, in part it reads, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. There was three security methods to protect the body of Jesus. One is that it seems the rock across the door was immense and fitting in a groove. Two, the locking pin to hold the rock in place, which acted as a seal. And three, the chief priests and the Pharisees set a watch or a guard over the location. What a dark situation had fallen upon the earth. Would the prince of the power of the air have felt he had defeated the promised seed? Had Satan thwarted the plan of God? Or was it just a great test for the disciples? Their emotions would have been low and hopes unrealized. However, at the end of the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went early that they could anoint Jesus with more spices. The empty tomb. We remember when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and there was an earthquake. Now, there was another earthquake, a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. Matthew chapter 28, 2-4. So the guards were terrified and shook. The women arrived very early, going dutiful about their aspiration to further embalm the body with spices. Yet they found the tomb with the stone rolled away, and an angel gave them a message. In Mark 16 and verse 6, it reads, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Luke chapter 24, 4, 6 and 7 also express the situation the women who just previously, some 36 hours prior, had living contact with their Lord nearby at the cross of Calvary. Virtually last on the scene, to be first on the scene of the empty tomb. It reads, "While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood near them in dazzling clothing. The men said to them, He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." The women were filled with fear and joy. The main event was indeed, he is not here, he is risen. But Mary was saddened by the body being removed or stolen. We do not know her real thoughts. However, she wept and was in mourning. In fact, a wailing or a howling is the meaning. The women returned to the apostles telling them these events. However, they thought it nonsense. The women's joy was one of hope to know that he was raised. Why didn't the apostles believe the testimony of the women? Wouldn't the Master's words be close to their hearts when, in time of need? We have examples of comforting scriptures, John 15:13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And John 14:27. "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 20 tells us that Mary Magdalene went and told Peter, John, and they ran to the tomb. John went into the sepulchre and saw and believed. The great power of God had raised Jesus to life. He had been faithful to death and completed the will of God. He died for the sin of the world. Death had no power over him, for he could not see corruption. Jesus was conceived to the earth through Mary, the betrothed of Joseph, by the Holy Spirit, and raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. God restores mankind's hope through the resurrection. His birth, life, and death are so important to us, but his resurrection is so incredibly powerful. We may not comprehend this mighty act of God, however, we too are to believe. In Acts 4 and 10, Peter states, Brother Graham had this in his discourse this morning, "Let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, yes, whom God raised from the dead, this truth is a foundation to our Christian faith." The appearances of Jesus. The appearances of Jesus that followed the resurrection are all for a grand witness to prove he is risen. He is alive, and we should be confident in all gaining a resurrection and also a hope for the resurrection of all mankind from the dead. The disciples had somewhat scattered and held fear for the Jews. To just briefly view the tomb may have brought further trial upon them. Some of his appearances are as follows. 1. Jesus appeared to the women in Matthew 28, 9 and 10. And this is where he instructs them to go into Galilee, and they shall see him there. 2. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene at the sepulchre. This is when Mary was in despair, with tear-filled eyes, as Jesus appeared as a gardener. 3. Jesus appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. He reminded them of the scriptures and encouraged them. 4. Jesus appeared to his disciples in the room, locked for further proof. He was no longer a man contained by the flesh or human nature. He had power to assume these appearances. 5. Jesus appeared to Thomas, who requested to be able to touch him. John chapter 20, 28 and 29 reads, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet have believed." A sixth appearance. Jesus appears to the disciples fishing. He specifically provided a miraculous catch of fish to show them that they may know him and his provision for them. Jesus does appear in several other occasions. However, we have the main points being he proved he was alive by his use, his talking, by his manner, the breaking of the bread, by his prayer, by performing miracles, by quoting scripture, and by instructing the disciples to believe, and that he would be with them always through the Holy Spirit, which was soon to be poured out. As followers, sometimes we are like Mary, grieving, in despair, helpless. Can we find the arm of Jesus, our elder brother and master? Sometimes we are like Thomas, doubtful, unsure, and poor in spirit. Can we not believe through the word of God and the promises? Sometimes we trudge along the narrow way, disappointed, our eyes looking down, and no lead, like on the way to Emmaus. Can we not be uplifted by our brethren and the faithful examples that have gone before us? Sometimes we are afraid, perplexed, and troubled by the daily affairs, as in that locked room. Remember, He is always with us, and faithful endurance will bear a beautiful reward. The Lord Jesus was alive. He is risen, the angels proclaimed. Jesus, during the 40 days from the resurrection, appeared to give them evidence that He was living and had changed from the man Jesus to the spirit being. This Jesus was putting great joy, and as we read in the Gospels, He was indeed wise in revealing Himself by His ways, knowing His disciples' weaknesses and strength. To close, I would like to read John chapter 5, 25 to 29. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Brother Barry and Brother Darren. It's a beautiful thing how that theme runs all the way through. It's not just, you know, the Messiah is not a New Testament concept, but it is God's plan from the very beginning. So thank you both for your time and preparation. We'll finish off here with 350, hymn 350 in the Bible student, which is 264 in the Dawn, which is sing them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. Let them more their beauty see, the wonderful words of life.